Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to remind you to make sure you subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything, and also to leave us a review to know, let us know how we're doing. I also just want to note that this is our first episode of the new year. We kind of took some time off. I say we. It's me. But,
it's you. Yeah.
But I took some time off from the podcast. And starting this year with this episode, instead of doing a weekly episode, we're going to move to a bi-weekly rhythm. So just make note of that so you're not checking in every single week to make sure that you're looking for an episode. So I don't want to leave people hanging thinking that they're missing something.
Yeah.
So. We've taken a break, and then we're going to do every other week. So,
super.
I'm joined today by Pastor Char Rotfold. Welcome, Char.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah. We haven't, some of you probably haven't seen Pastor Char on the podcast for a while. Why is that? Why have you been ignoring me for so long?
I wasn't AWOL. I was gone, intentionally gone, from September 12th until December 17th.
Okay. What were you doing?
I was on a sabbatical. I received a gift from this church. To every 7 years, this church gives its pastors a 3-month paid sabbatical, and it is a gift indeed.
It is.
Yeah.
And so this is the second time that you've had a sabbatical.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the first one was 7 years ago, so 2018.
Wait,
so you had it in
2017.
2017, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that's the new year already. I was like, wait, it's 2025 now.
2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So which is, it's weird that that was already 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So, in a nutshell, what were some of the things that you did on your sabbatical while you were away for 3 months? I know you had a lot of life things happening with your family.
Yeah, we started, kicked things off. Our son got married on September 14th. So,
very exciting.
So I took a couple of days of vacation right before the sabbatical started because we hosted the wedding rehearsal and rehearsal dinner in our backyard. And then I officiated the wedding, which was a great honor.
Aww.
So they got married on September 14th. So Kyle's a married man and Emma is now our daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a wonderful celebration.
And
then we got to rest because our daughter had left the house in August to start medical school and Kyle got married. So we were footloose and fancy free empty nesters.
Yeah. Which is very different than your previous sabbatical when both kids were in high school.
It was Kyle's freshman year of college.
Okay.
So my sabbatical then was started right after Easter and went to mid July. So Kyle got home from his first year of college in May. So I had the first month kind of quiet, but Erica was going to school every day. Kirk was going to work every day. And then Kyle came home mid May and was home full time, and then Kirk was home the last half in the summer. So, very different season of life with people coming and going, and a lot of people living at home, but going to work every day. So I had, in some ways, more alone time.
Yeah,
the first time around. Yeah.
So you, Kyle got married, and so then you had time with Kirk just to kind of spend time together. What were some of the things you did together?
We did a bit of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
We did a road trip, and then we took a longer trip farther away in November. We play cribbage every day.
Every day.
Every day we play cribbage. Yeah, we should start keeping tally of who's got the most wins. We don't do that, but
I've never played cribbage. Is it something where there's enough strategy to it that you, after playing together every day, you knew how to like exploit what his strategies were and knew how to exploit that?
The thing with cribbage is when you win, then you say it was strategy. When you lose, you say it's a game of luck.
So it's a mix of both.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
But we've been playing, both of us have been playing our whole lives. So did a lot of that. Took a lot of walks. I did some running. We just played together and hung out together and enjoyed. Kirk spent some time in the garage, so I got a little bit of quiet time. It was a little bit different having him home full time, so we had wonderful time together.
Because Kirk is retired now versus the last sabbatical when he was still working.
Yeah, he's mostly retired. Mostly. He works on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So Wednesdays I had a bit of time by myself with the dog. But it was great.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful rest. So we've touched a little bit on some of the differences from your previous sabbatical. What are some other differences that you noticed between the two different sabbaticals in 2017 versus 2024?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that too, because I started my first sabbatical with 5 days at a cabin by myself, a cabin in the woods. I took my dog with me. But we just went away. I didn't make it the 5 days, which is a different story. But I did start it intentionally by getting away, and I didn't have any of that intentional me time this time around. But I had a lot of we time with Kirk. I did some intentional reading this time, and I didn't do that last time. So I read 3 books, one a month, and I read them in order, and they were just fantastic. I would recommend all of them to anybody, and especially if you have a sabbatical coming, I'd say read these 3 in order. The first one was called Anonymous.
Okay.
So it's Anonymous, : Jesus's Hidden Years and Yours. So the years before Jesus's public ministry started at age 30, they weren't just empty years. They were still, they were fruitful, developing, growing, deepening years that were preparing him for his years of ministry. So that was really helpful because I entered a, went from a season of a very public facing position and job to an anonymous season where we, like, we were just home and traveling anonymously. So that was good. And then I read a book called Sacred Rest, which is written by a female medical professional. So it was it was a Christian. So it was a beautiful mix of...
Are you going to join your daughter in medical school? Or
No. But I did send her a few excerpts from that. But the physical benefits of rest. So that was just good. Like, she had shared conversations she had has had with patients who come in with physical ailments, and many of them are due to a lack of rest. So, and one, there was one interesting thing I learned in that. So I'm an introvert, and my work has me being extroverted a lot. So I fully enjoyed being a hermit much of my sabbatical, just hermiting in my house and reading. And but she talks about different kinds of rest in this book, and one of the kinds of rest is social rest. And this was new to me. Social rest isn't the absence of people. It's being with people who are life-giving for you, who are easy to be around. So you can rest socially with a handful of people that you are...
So you got away from me.
Totally at ease with. I contacted you a few times.
Yes, you, there was one point where when she was further away in a very different time zone, she texted me and I got... I woke up and I had gotten a text from her at like 3 a.m. I was like, what is Char doing texting me that early? And I was like, oh, wait, she's in a very different time
My
zone.
My bad.
It didn't wake me up, so I didn't mind at all. But I was just like... Char's not a stay-up-late kind of person.
No, she's not. Yeah. So that was interesting, these different types of rest and what a different way to frame rest. Like another piece of that, physical rest. For me, I receive physical rest when I'm exercising.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, I was like, oh, that makes sense. I hadn't thought of that before, but some people, resting physically means taking a nap or just sitting. For me, when I go out on a run or go for a hike, that for me is physically restful. So that was encouraging and affirming.
Yeah, no, the body needs to move in certain ways to actually create the need for rest.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
That was helpful, The third book I read was called Invitation to Retreat by Ruth Haley Barton. And of any book I've read in the last 20 years, I've turned over more corners in that book by far. Probably every third page, I would say, in this lengthy book is turned over the corner.
She's a wonderful writer.
So good.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. About spending time with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
And then as I was kind of listening to this, I'm kind of curious, like, what was different between the two sabbaticals about leading into the sabbatical, like, seasons of life? And what were some of the work things that were different? Because I know, I remember when the first sabbatical started, it was shortly after, maybe not shortly after, but after you had kind of spent time kind of leading staff before we had, before Pastor Brad Kindle came on to lead. So it was kind of after a lot of intensive workload type things.
Yeah, that's true. I was actually eligible for my first sabbatical the year that Brad came.
Okay.
February 1st of whatever year that was, 9 years ago, I think. Yeah, 2016 it was, so I was eligible for a sabbatical that year, and I remember he and I talked about that shortly after he came. He said, you want a sabbatical? And I did not feel right in my spirit about that. I thought, he's just landing. He doesn't know people here and systems here and rhythms here. So I told him I didn't want to, I just wanted to be available to him the first year. So I waited a year and took my sabbatical the year after. And that was a different kind of rest. On the home front, things weren't busy. It didn't seem as busy maybe in that way, but this year was just different. We had a wedding in Germany we went to in 2024 and a wedding in Seattle, our nephews in August, and Erica starting medical school, and we just had a lot
going on
in our family, and then Kyle's wedding, obviously getting ready for that. So we felt really busy at home, and I was finishing up a seminary certificate program that I finished up the end of July last year. So there was a lot a lot with our family. Not bad, all good
stuff. Yeah, good
stuff. But just a lot.
Time-consuming stuff.
Yeah, time-consuming, thought-consuming, financially-consuming things in 2024. So it felt like just a break. Like all the calendar was clear. We could do whatever we wanted. We could do nothing. We could do all the things. And it just was a peaceful time. And I'd also heard that sometimes after big events, personally, people can have a letdown or... You know, when all of a sudden it gets quiet, that can be a difficult thing when the nest empties or after a wedding. And I wasn't worried about that, but I thought, well, this will be nice that we'll start our quiet, empty nest season in a special way.
Yeah.
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 So during this time, so it was a 3-month sabbatical, what would you say were some of the things that you learned or gained from the sabbatical?
Yeah. Well, it was a treat to untangle. I keep having this as the image. Like I've been at Faith Covenant for almost 31 years. Mm-hmm. So in 31 years, my life and worship and couple life and small group and friendships and work all is just entangled.
Mm.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Just all kind of tied together around the same place, interconnected. Yeah. So to be able to just untangle and set aside Faith Covenant stuff for 3 months and just be a follower of Christ, be Jesus's girl and Kirk's wife and mother and mother-in-law and daughter and, you know, neighbor, and just to be me with God was just refreshing. I lingered for a long time in my devotions in the morning. I would just sit and I didn't have anywhere to be, and I didn't have to hop in the shower to head out somewhere every day. And, so yeah, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then what? You kind of touched on this in some ways. How did you grow closer to God during this time? Obviously, just having time to just linger, like you said, was surely a big part of that. But what else?
Yeah. Well, it was neat to see. So as a pastor, you get to have spiritual conversations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the time we're having spiritual conversations and praying with people, and that's just part of every single day life at work. But when you're out in the real world, that's not how the world talks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, I noticed differently moments of like ministry moments and God moments in the world. Like I got to have a really meaningful conversation with a neighbor and got to pray with a neighbor in the street in front of our house.
Yeah.
And that was new. And there's been fruit from that since. So that was just a sweet conversation. Another neighbor too, not quite to that degree, but and then even in our travels, seeing God in unique places and having just little snippets of conversation or overhearing something or noticing God in other places outside of a work setting or a ministry setting or a church setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was a sweet reminder that even when I'm not working, I'm being used by God, and God is present in places, even some places we went to where it didn't seem like God was anywhere near. there's still evidence of him there. So I think another recurring phrase that I have was Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. I can be anonymous. I can be holed up in my house. I can be a hermit, and that part never changes. Who I am doesn't ever change.
Yeah.
So that was just resting in that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Kind of taking your spiritual life away from your work life. Because I know for me, sometimes I kind of realize I'm kind of combining the two, which again isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, no, even if I weren't to work in church anymore or in ministry and I got a secular job again, I would still be just as much a Christ follower.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
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 And then the last question I have, how do you think, or how will your ministry be changed as a result of the sabbatical?
That's a good question. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. So a lot of our time and energy is spent on staff, not all of it, but a lot of it, planning programs and the Sunday morning experience, you know, classes on Sundays, worship on Sundays. We spent a good amount of time being intentional about that. But I had, you know, I was away from that for 3 months and was just reminded again and again and again that not that we do this, but the phrase playing church came to mind. Like, we're not here just to put on a service on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We're not here to, I mean, that's an hour of our week, and there's 167 other hours of the week where we get to live our faith. And that's really the purpose of our call as pastors, is to give people that, well, give people to connect God, connect people with God, and demonstrate, model, encourage, foster, equip people to have that relationship with Jesus the other 167 hours of the week that, you know, they live their faith, that we live our faith outside of the hour we spend on a Sunday morning at church. So the goal isn't to get people to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The goal is to create people. No, the goal is for people at Faith Covenant to be the church and be followers of Christ in every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the word Christian isn't just worn as a check. I go to church a couple times a year. I'm sure I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not Muslim. I'm not Buddhist. I'm not atheist. Sure, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Yet I don't go to church much. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I don't, you know, all the things that don't make you a follower of Christ, but they're fruit. Mm-hmm. They're evidence of a heart that desires to follow the Lord.
Right.
So, yeah, creating disciples who make disciples, really, that's not a surprise to anyone listening, hopefully. but that's really the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to get good churchgoers on Sundays.
Yeah.
It's a passion at the moment.
No, and that's great. And that's, you know, we need that. And so I'm really glad just to have you back and to see how rested and energized you are. I talked to Kirk briefly one day during your sabbatical because he stopped in to grab a devotional or something. And he mentioned something like, he's like, it's kind of a nice taste of when she's retired, because then we can both just kind of hang out and both be home. I'm like, but you got to send her back. Like, she's coming back, right? He's like, oh yeah, she's ready to go back. Like, she'll be glad to be there. But he was like, I'm ready for her to be retired too.
You know, that's an interesting, that is another sense of.
And you have many years before you do. You have at least 20 more years before you retire.
I'll be 57, so not 20 years, but 19. That was an interesting progression, because I really enjoyed not working for a season. But I also knew that season was just a season, and I didn't settle into, I didn't settle into what retirement I imagined would look like. It was just like,
a break.
It was a break. Yeah. And nothing was added or no new rhythms started. But sometime in the week before I came back, I wasn't feeling quite ready to return. But then thankfully there was a switch a few days before where because I journaled with even more diligence the last couple weeks. And I just got this beautiful sense of, I'm looking forward to getting back to work. Mm-hmm. I will, God willing, have many years of retirement at some point. But this is not that time.
No.
And I'm blessed to have a job. I'm blessed to have a church that I love. I'm blessed to have colleagues that I enjoy. I'm blessed to have meaningful work that I get to do in a flexible work environment. And there's just, the blessings are beautiful. And I love the people at this church. And I was ready to come back.
And we love you.
Yeah.
And we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
It's funny though, because like I did get kind of used to not seeing you. So like now when I see you, I saw you last night during some of the Wednesday night stuff. And I was like, oh, right, Char's back.
Yeah.
Even though it's been been back for almost a month now. And I'm still just kind of like surprised, like, oh, yeah, she's back.
Yeah. Kirk and I got home last night and we drove separately because I had a meeting beforehand. But we got home and I said, that was our first Wednesday night since April.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like,
oh, it was.
You're right. So that's because of the summer break, you know. So that's been almost 9 months that we have been to a midweek.
That's why I was so surprised to see you there, I guess.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen you on a Wednesday night.
Since April.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a revelation to us last night.
that makes more sense now why I was confused to see you.
Yeah.
So, well, I was glad to see you.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and I do want to say, too, there's a lot of biblical precedent for this kind of sabbatical rest. Like, there is so much in the Old Testament about taking significant breaks every 7 years. And, you know, there's just a lot of beautiful precedent for that. So it's not necessarily like a magic number or a thing that's required. Not all churches offer it. Not right. all denominations offer it or encourage it even. Some right. encourage their pastors to just kind of go. And that's what creates burnout and
it
problems.
Is, yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's a really big blessing for our pastors, for Pastor Shar and Pastor Brad, that they get to do that. And I'm glad that we have a congregation that encourages that.
Me too. Thank you.
Not all churches do that. And
yeah.
you see some of the negative fruit that comes out of that. So,
yeah.
Well, we are very glad to have Shar back, and I'm sure we'll have her on the podcast again to talk about. What do you want to talk about next in 2 weeks from now?
In 2 weeks? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't think I'll be here that day. No, I'm kidding. No.
Oh, well, you are going to be gone next week for a conference. But anyway, yeah. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for being part of a congregation that is willing to give our pastors mm-hmm. a break. And we just hope that you have a wonderful and blessed day.